Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this hour of the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Happy Independence Day. Hope you're having a fantastic holiday weekend, slowing down a little bit. You don't have to do anything this week except have some fun. You can pick back up on all of your projects next week, but we still like to share with you some of the most practical, realistic home improvement information you'll find anywhere. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. Yes, it's a holiday weekend, so as Danny said, it's a great long weekend to take off and spend time with the family outdoors. Danny is freshly returned from his trip out to California at the Emmy Awards, where Today's Homeowner did not win. This is our second nomination, though, so we're getting closer.
Absolutely.
You're getting closer. So, but I heard you had a great time out there. And I mean, just being nominated, people say this, but it really is true. Just being nominated is an honor. I mean, a lot of people didn't get invited out to California.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And
oh,
you guys did.
It was a wonderful time, and congratulations to Brad Rogers and Scott Gardner that's on my team that were instrumental in us getting this nomination. And congratulations to Kelly Clarkson. The Kelly Clarkson Show won in our category. So congratulations to Kelly and her team and to everybody that we saw out there. It was a fantastic weekend. So, yeah, it was a good little break, and certainly we did feel like we won. Now, Joe, coming up this hour on Today's Homeowner, we're going to talk about how to eliminate wrinkles.
Pardon me?
How to eliminate wrinkles.
Just in a nick of time.
Oh, wrinkles in carpet. That's what I'm just clarifying that.
That doesn't help me in.
You thought I had a little Botox thing coming on.
Well, you
here.
Went out to Hollywood, so I don't know what, what kind of tips you're coming back with.
I brought back some big old bottle of Botox. Also, we got a lot of noisy pipes, and we're going to try to figure out what we can do with that. We have some brand new information on concrete and some special concrete products that can help you. All kinds of emails, all kinds of other phone calls, and of course, Joe, what's coming up on that simple solution? Could you give us a little hint?
Absolutely. How to make large holes in tile. An easy way to do it. You don't have to buy one of those expensive carbide tip hole saws. So here's a way to make large holes in tile.
Boy, that's a big challenge when people are trying to, you know, do something in the bathroom, existing ceramic tile. It's a little scary. It's a solid material, but it also has a bit of a fragile nature to it. So we'll see what happens on that simple solution. Hey, we always enjoy getting phone calls from you on our hotline, which you can do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That phone number, toll free, of course, 800-946-4420. Got some great calls there. Let's grab a couple of the recorded calls right now.
Yes, the pad in front of my garage has sunk after 20 years, was level with the garage floor, and now it's down about an inch and a half to 2 inches, so I've got that lip every time I back into the garage. I would appreciate suggestions on how to raise that up or add something to it. What add to replace that lip? Help me out there if you can.
Alrighty. Well, we certainly have seen this quite a bit, and this is a very good example of taking care, being proactive as a homeowner, and taking care of something that can cause a bigger problem. And what I'm speaking of is that cold joint. A cold joint is where two different concrete slabs are poured at different times, so they don't bind together. And garage is very common to that, because you don't pour your driveway before you build the house normally. And what happens is you have that gap there. Rain blows in against that garage door, and it rolls right into that crack, which may be a very small crack, but what happens is it starts affecting the integrity of the foundation under your driveway. And what does that mean? It means it sinks, and you're going to have, it's not going to ever get any better. It's going to get worse as it goes down. So a couple different options here for you. One is to seal that crack right now. Go ahead and seal that crack with a concrete repair caulk. Sometimes you'll have to put in some of the foam What in the world?
Backer rod.
Backer rod. There we go. They need to name that something else. That doesn't make sense. So
you have to call it Danny Lipford rod. That's what
so
you'll
put
remember.
The foam backer rod in there, down to where you have about 3/8 of an inch. You're recessed, and then you can fill that with caulk. That keeps the rain out and keeps it from getting any worse. That's one way to go. But Joe, you know, to recommend someone to put just 1.5 inches of concrete down to nothing.
Right.
And you know, to taper it down like that, and then to have them run a car over it, over it, and over it, I just don't think no matter what you have out there is going to work. But
Yeah. I think that would be a really hard thing to get to bond and bond securely. And this is a tough one. I mean, he didn't say how big. He's called it a pad. I suspect this is a slab, a larger slab. Pad of concrete is the kind of thing you might have in a front door underneath an air conditioning unit. This is probably a good sized slab.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And there are systems where they can raise them. They kind of drill holes underneath it, and they force in expanding foam, kind of like
right.
that
mm-hmm.
great stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, sure. I've seen videos. I've never done it myself or seen it done, but I've seen videos, and it actually does.
Pretty
within
impressive.
A few minutes, it just lifts it up. Now, I don't know how they know it's only going to lift 2 inches and not 5 inches, but I guess they just pump a little at a time. Mm-hmm. So that is one permanent way, you know, assuming the soil is finally stabilized, to lift it. But if you want to just do something like quick, I mean, I might even consider just getting like a pressure treated 2x4 or 2x6 and beveling it along its entire length,
mm-hmm.
using some construction adhesive and glue it down there. And
yeah.
maybe that only lasts for 5 or 6 years, but then, you know, you replace it.
I mean, yeah,
that'd be an
yeah,
easy way
you can
to
use
solve
a
the problem.
You know, a circular saw or
sure,
a table saw to really provide that taper. But here's a couple things to think about. I've done this second one that I'm about to mention. But, you know, first, what Joe said about the foam raising it up, I would get a couple prices from those guys and see what that costs. I have no idea what that costs, but go ahead and price that, write that down. Second option is to price out what it would cost for you to rent a concrete saw, a wet saw. Pop a line back about 8 inches, and then cut that concrete off of your driveway, that last 8 inches or whatever. Go ahead and cut that out and get that concrete out of there. Then pour concrete back down in there where the soil has been affected. Pack it out real well. Pour concrete back in there to raise it back up to the slab so you have a little ramp. Or what I've done in the past is actually pour concrete in there and then come in with a brick border and let the brick, solid bricks or pavers, and let it slant up. You might even go out to 12 inches or 16 inches to make the ramp, you know, less steep. And then you can cut that out and do that and put that. And then it looks intentional. It's almost like a border or an accent going into your garage. But if you look at the option of both of these and see which one appeals to you the most and which one is more reasonable in cost, that'll make it easier for you to make that decision. So it's always one of those things that you have. Let's grab another recorded call there.
Hi, I have a cedar deck that needs to be cleaned. It has like green slippery slime on it. I know in your past articles it says to use a brightener to clean it. It says to dry in full sun. The reason I have the green slime is because I don't have a lot of sun back there. So my question is, what can I clean it with and then get it to dry so I can seal it? I live in Maine, so we haven't really had a lot of hot weather, less humid hot weather, I should say, for it to even dry.
Well, I tell you, Joe, don't we have a product, Green Slimy Slime No More?
No, but it sounds like they should.
Yeah, they should. They
slime
should.
No more.
Well, you know, if you don't have the sun on there, if there's any way that you can cut a few of the branches here and there, I mean, it's nice to have shade on a deck like that. But if you don't, you can trim a few limbs here and there and maybe get a little more sun going in there. But also while you're working on this, and the things that we would recommend is, you got to clean it. Go ahead and clean it really, really well. And I'll tell you, don't underestimate how much drying can take place by simply putting a fan on it. So if you go ahead and really get it clean with the deck brightener or pressure washing, then blow a fan or as many fans as you can across that to allow it to dry enough. Then you can come back with your semi-transparent stain, your clear sealer, or another, you know, or leave it just like it is. But your clear sealer probably would be the best way to go. That'll get that green slimy slime out of there and get it ready for a nice summertime use out on the deck. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio, and we're glad you are. So don't go anywhere.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Quikrete Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of. And by Fluidmaster. Find out more at shop.fluidmaster.com.
The Today's Homeowner Radio Show is heard coast to coast on some amazing radio stations like this one, Nashville, Tennessee, on WNAH AM 1360. Hello to everybody there. Get a lot of great emails from the Nashville area. Not a bad place to hang out. Whether you like country music or not, there is so much going on in that town. And there's also a lot of renovation and a lot of home improvement taking place there. They've got a wide variety of homes there and a lot of need for fresh, practical home improvement advice. We want to help you out with any challenge you're having in and around Nashville by giving us a call, 800-946-4420, or send us an email by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to Washington State. Miriam's on the phone. Miriam, welcome to the show, and tell us how we can help you out around your house there.
Well, thank you. And first of all, let me tell you, I love your show. I think it's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
I have a problem with wrinkles in my carpet. They're like ripples.
Well, I have dealt with this quite a bit, and it's funny, sometimes the fibers in carpet get compressed a lot of times, you know, maybe in the way they're stored or just in the way that it's on the roll, and, you know, maybe even there's some little bit of moisture content from being stored in a, you know, unheated and air-conditioned warehouse, and then it gets installed, and then all of a sudden it starts expanding a little bit, which creates the wrinkles. Now, it also can be an installation issue, but approximately how old is the carpet, do you know?
About 15 years.
Okay. Well, it's had plenty of time then to stretch on out like that. I'll tell you what I would do. It's a hard one to do by yourself. There is a tool that you can rent, and it's always thought it was a funny name, knee kicker. It's just a knee kicker of stretching tool. And they also have a power stretcher that the professionals use a good bit. But, it, you know, it's really not worth fooling with. Those guys, it's just second nature to them. I would call one of the carpet companies and ask if they would give you a name of one of their independent installers. Most of their installers are independent. Call a couple different ones. You'll be able to find someone. Then call them and say, hey, here's what I got. And they have done it hundreds of times. And they'll come by and they'll just stretch the carpet back over the tack strip that's running around the perimeter of the room that's underneath the carpet. Then they usually will have to trim off a little bit of the excess once it's stretched out, and then they can kind of look around. Now, it is a big advantage if you can empty the room of the furniture. If you're not able to, they can move it around a little bit for you. Might charge you a little extra on that. But it won't take them long, nor will it cost a lot of money, and you should never have to do it again. But that's what I would recommend instead of trying to do it yourself.
About how long can you expect carpeting to last?
Well, I tell you, I've seen some old carpet, and it certainly all depends on how well it's cleaned. And, you know, if you have a bunch of kids running around, a bunch of pets running around, it's not going to last as long as something that's used. 15 years, is that's a lot of time in carpet. Most people change it out after a few years just because they get tired of it, or, you know, they see something that they would rather have. But I would say you might want to start looking at a new floor, because 15 years is a pretty good time for carpet.
Okay, it might be worthwhile to get new carpet rather than spend the money to have it stretched.
Yeah,
then.
Well, just ask them. Ask them how much it would cost. That might, you know, if the carpet's in fairly good shape, you can steam clean it and get it stretched and get a few more years out of it. But they'll be able to tell you on the phone when you talk to the carpet mechanic exactly how long it would take.
Very good. Thank you so much.
Hey, our pleasure, and thanks so much for the kind words, and I hope you have just a fantastic weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Yep, Joe, I'll tell you that. I have seen that so many times. And
sure.
She actually sent us a picture here, and I can see the prominent wrinkle there. But you know, if the carpet's in good shape, certainly no sense in changing it out or anything.
Yeah, if she calls a carpet contractor and says, you know, I have some wrinkles, I want you to stretch them out, and the rug is 15 years old, I can guarantee you he's going to say you need a new rug.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what condition. Yeah. So she should be prepared for that. And the other thing is, you know, a rug that old, even though it might be in great shape on the top surface, over years, it, you know, the backing just breaks down from people walking,
right.
Dragging.
Yeah.
And that will cause these wrinkles. And once it gets it stretched out, the other thing I always tell people is don't be aware that once you get it stretched out, the wrinkled areas have a tendency to collect more dust and dirt. So once you get it stretched out, you'll probably still see where the wrinkles are. So you'll have to shampoo it. And you can try just shampooing that section, but ordinarily then you see that clean section. So, you know, just be prepared. Once you have all the furniture out, you might want to either rent or hire someone to come in and clean the whole carpet. So it does all look, have the same sort of shade of color now that it's perfectly clean.
Exactly right. Hey, over the last few weeks, and actually for a couple years now, we've been telling you about all of the great information that's waiting on you right now at metalroofing.com. So many people are considering metal roofing these days, and it's just kind of hard to cut through the clutter sometimes and really get the straight facts. Well, the Metal Roofing Alliance provides that information to you. Frequently asked questions, visualizers, a lot of different ways that you can make the right decision on your next roof. And you can go again to metalroofing.com, because you know, it's a great investment. It's great for energy efficiency, longevity, lots of different reasons. If you're in a fire prone area, it's fantastic for that. A lot of reasons to go with a metal roof. Again, go by and check out their free buyer's guide at metalroofing.com. Hey, we want to get all the questions from you that we can, and one way to do that is to send us an email. We've got a lot of them this week, and you can send us one right now at todayshomeowner.com/ask. This one came in from Iowa. Betty wants to know, we have a finished basement that has dark wood paneling on the walls. Is it possible to paint the paneling? We'd like to lighten and brighten up the space. Joe, certainly we've heard of dark basements and dark dens, and
right.
The answer is yes, you can, but how does Betty get started on painting that paneling?
Well, the first thing you have to do is clean it really well. It's the same with any surface, right? You want to clean it well. So you could do a very mild TSP, trisodium phosphate in water, or even, you know, just a liquid dish soap with some warm water. You just want to get it really clean, remove obviously all grease and dirt and dust and anything like that. You may need to lightly sand it if it's got in a room that might have, you know, this is a finished basement, so it probably doesn't have a wood burning stove in it, but anything like that, you want to make sure you get it off. Like, okay, so now it's perfectly clean. We're assuming, Danny, this is regular wood paneling that has the grooves in it. So right. The decision is, do I mind the grooves? Do I want to spend a lot of extra time and money trying to hide the grooves? I typically don't mind those vertical grooves, and I would recommend just priming and painting it. You can always go back, I guess,
after you
prime it and see what it looks like. If you don't like them, then you can fill them with joint compound, something like that. But that's what I would do. I'd clean it really well, prime it. I would leave the grooves, then just paint it whatever color you want. And probably you don't want a flat color, I wouldn't think. Probably, but you don't want anything too high gloss. I would think, what, Danny, an eggshell or semi-gloss would probably be what I'd recommend on a wall like that.
Okay, one more email here from Michelle in Cleveland Heights, Ohio. I've been to Cleveland Heights a number of times. We have a plastic laminate kitchen floor that my husband recently cleaned and then waxed. Then we learned that you should never wax laminate flooring. How can I remove the wax without damaging the flooring? Okay, Michelle's husband got her in trouble here, Joe, on the removing that wax. Any thoughts on that? Because, boy, you can't put anything on there too strong or caustic, or you'll really have a big problem. How do you think they can get rid of that wax?
I would start with just, you know, Danny and I often recommend white vinegar, so a 50-50 solution of white vinegar to water, because the vinegar has just enough acidity that it should cut through this wax. And I would do a small spot and see if that works. Just, you know, you don't want to saturate the floor, but, you know, just enough, just a damp rag, and see if that removes it. If not, you can up the percentage of vinegar to maybe 75%, 25% water. Because again, this is relatively mild. We're talking about regular household vinegar, not the home and garden vinegar, but the kind you'd use on a salad or whatever else people use it with. So that's what I would do. I would just use a diluted vinegar. That's usually all you need, because that is plastic laminate and not much sticks to it. But so that wax should come up pretty easily.
Good, good. Well, that should be a pretty easy solution right there. Just go to the pantry again, grab that white vinegar, which is something we recommend for a lot of solutions around the house. You're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I want to remind you about the Today's Homeowner e-newsletter. It's available each and every week, and all you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com/newsletter to sign up today. Man, we got so much great information that we're sharing with you all the time there, things that will make you, maybe remind you about a few things you might need to consider around the home, and keeping you up to date with all of the latest news to do with home improvement and things that you can do to improve your home. So again, todayshomeowner.com/newsletter. Right now, we're going to check in with Bobby, who's on the phone right now. Bobby, I understand you've got a little unnecessary noise around the house. Tell us about it.
Hi, Danny. Yes, I do. My water pipes are making a noise, and it's not like a high-pitched whine. It's more like a haunted house groaning type noise. And it happens whether I'm running hot or cold water. Sometimes if I turn on another faucet somewhere else in the house, it'll stop. But yeah, I was wondering if you could tell me maybe what's going on and what I need to do.
Well, the thing about it is you're talking about something that generally we call a water hammer. Sometimes it can actually sound like a hammer. Other times it is a groaning type of thing, but it's just movement of pipes because air in the pipes. There's several different things that you can do. Now, if you had access to the wall, you can strap all of the pipes better and spray it with foam and all of that. But in lieu of that, you need to start back at the water heater and put a little expansion tube. Basically, the plumber will put a vertical tube in your water line, and it basically helps to control the water hammers and the air in your lines. There shouldn't be air in your lines, but it happens. And that generally will solve the problem. Joe, I also see in some areas of the country real popular to put those little tiny expansion tanks right above
right.
water heater. You think that might be something that can help Bobby out?
Yeah, Bobby, it's sometimes hard to diagnose it because it could be a couple of different things. But, a plumber could certainly come out and take a listen and tell you what it is. It's often happens when you slowly open up a valve as opposed to opening up like a faucet all the way quickly. Sometimes it's loose mounts, like inside the wall, the water pipes are mounted with straps or other devices to the wood framing. If they come loose, you'll get some movement in it. So, yeah, so that's, what do you do about it now? You're not going to start opening up walls. So, sometimes if the water pressure in your house is too high, it can cause that. But the water pressure doesn't usually change. If this wasn't an issue, now it is an issue. But you could check that too. Make sure the water pressure is not too high.
I do have a water pressure relief valve out on my main water line.
Okay.
All right. That was put in several years ago. And a plumber told me once that it was because I have a two-bath house. And I don't use one of the bathrooms very often. One plumber told me that it was the, because I didn't use it.
Right.
Something in there had dried out.
Oh, yes. Yeah. One of the gaskets may have dried out. You are supposed to flush toilets. A lot of people have a bathroom, maybe it's a half bath on the end of a hallway they don't ever use, only guests use it, and parts do dry out, so you are supposed to flush it occasionally if you're not really using it. If air is caught in your pipes, as Danny mentioned, which is the water hammering, sometimes it's more of a hammering noise, but it can sound like a moaning noise, so those arresters do work. Eventually, all that air will get absorbed by the water and cause that hammering sound. But mm-hmm. without actually hearing it, I'm not sure I can tell you anything more than that. The toilet fill valve, if that's not operating correctly, that can make a noise. But this is at your sink. So I would check, I would have them check the faucets themselves, make sure that there aren't any parts worn. Like I said, if you open it slowly, sometimes you hear that noise. But if you open it quickly, you don't. I'm not sure if that's the case in your house.
Yeah, it happening on every faucet. Sometimes it does happen when I flush the toilet. It even happens sometimes when I am using the washer.
Right, right. Well, the fact that it's working, it's happening on all your water supply devices, might make it a little easier to diagnose, because it's not like he has to fix every faucet and every water fill. You know, it's something main. Maybe it could just be high water pressure and he can adjust that.
Okay. Can that water relief valve or that pressure relief valve, can that fail at some point? Because it's been in there for years.
It could. Yeah, I mean, sometimes brand new fixtures and fittings fail. They come out of the box and they don't work. So almost any plumbing fixture can fail, especially if it's not used very often or if it's never been used. So, you know, you can have them check that as well.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I think you do have to call in a plumber though.
Yeah. And about getting a plumber, there's a lot of companies that, you know, will take advantage of an older single woman.
Sure.
Except for them making sure that they are licensed. Is there anything else that I can do, you know, to ensure that I'm getting somebody that's not going to try to take advantage of me?
Of course. Well, that's a great question, and you certainly need to get some good references. And one way of getting those references that you might not think about is to call a real estate agent. Real estate agents constantly deal with problems with plumbing within residential homes, and they can recommend someone that they rely on. And the thing about it is, if they're relying, if a plumber is being recommended by somebody like a real estate agent, they know they need to do a good job. They know that they don't want you calling them back and going, hey, they sure didn't treat me right, because that could be a big source of their income. So might be a kind of an unorthodox way of getting a reference, but it certainly works very, very well if you do that.
Oh, that sounds great. Okay. Well, thank you, gentlemen. You've given me a lot of information and a lot of things that I've written down so that I can, when I get a plumber, I can have them check everything out.
Good, Bobby. Well, certainly hope you a quick solution on all of that, and also hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Okay. You take care. Yeah, that's can be kind of spooky. I know I did a story years ago in a magazine about things that go bump in the night, different
right,
odd noises, and what does it mean? And it's kind of an interesting thing of different sounds that you have in your house and what is it and things like that. So it worked out.
The noises aren't always Danny going to get an Eskimo pie at like 2 in the morning. Sometimes it's the plumbing.
And that makes me hungry thinking about that. and it's hot, so ice cream.
Yeah, there
good.
You go.
Not a bad idea. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about concrete. It's a very common subject here on today's Homeowner Radio. We're going to dig into it a little bit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, brought to you by QuickReach Cement and Concrete Products. It's what America's made of.
Welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. You know, we talk a lot about QuickReach products and how so many problems that are brought forward to us, that's the solution. And plus, you can do all kinds of great projects, big and small, all kinds of things. And I love to work with a great American company like QuickReach. Right now with me, Allison Hunt, who's the Corporate Social Media Director and Marketing Project Manager for the QuickReach companies. And I'll tell you what, I know, Allison, that you're so involved in the social media things. And boy, you're able to really hear what problems people are facing so that you can help guide them as a resource to exactly which QuickReach product to use to overcome that.
Absolutely. Well, it's hashtag what America's made of, right?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
So to your point, we hear a lot of feedback, whether it's from Reddit, whether it's from folks reaching out on our Facebook pages, those sorts of things. And our goal is to be an educational resource for folks. So we've actually developed a holistic website for that, quickread.com. We've got shopping lists for any project that you might need, along with how-to videos, the like, to kind of deal with those holistic solutions for your home improvement.
Well, you know, we get so many things about, you know, I've got a crack here, or, you know, I have some damage on the concrete. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, you think of a slab, or some people would think of concrete slabs as completely maintenance-free, as permanent, you never have to fool with it. But not all concrete slabs that are poured are equal. There's some that, you know, too much water in it, you have problems on the surface with chalking as you go along, or, you know, in some of the northern climates with all of the ice and the snow and so forth.
And the salt, especially.
And the salt, yeah, you know, deteriorating it. I'll tell you one thing we recommend a lot around here is the Recap. That has got to be one of the best Quikrete products out there, because it's such a widespread problem in being able to make the surface of your concrete slab, driveway, patio, or whatever, just look brand new.
Oh, absolutely. And, the greatest part of that is it's super sticky. So as long as you've gotten up all that delaminated material, it's going to hold. And it's going to stand up to continual use.
Another thing we recommend a lot is the concrete repair caulk, because, you know, concrete's going to crack. I mean, the expansion and contraction.
Inevitably, over time.
Exactly. But, you know, just to caulk it with a latex caulk, it's going to actually highlight the crack more than anything else. But the textured repair caulk, I'm pretty amazed at that and its flexibility, the elasticity for it to be able to expand and contract. That's a big solution for a lot of people's problems.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the right solution can actually prevent additional damage. It can color match. It can kind of blend in so you don't see it. And it's easy on the budget. On top of that, it's suitable for most DIYers to do at home.
The fast-setting concrete in the red bag, have you sold any of that this year?
Just a little.
Wow. I am seeing it everywhere. You know, I saw a truck the other day. You know how you see the guys with the fence trucks and how they have a little bit of sand. And boy, he must have had 75 bags on there, because, you know, you think about it from a professional being able to use something. And let me step back for listeners that may not be familiar with it, even though you should. We talk about it all the time. But this is specially formulated. So if you're, let's say, putting in a fence post or taking care of that mailbox, you don't have to mix it up in the wheelbarrow and pour it in there. You simply pour it directly in the hole, put the right amount of water on it, give it only 30 or 45 minutes, and proceed. You can go ahead and build the fence, put the mailbox in, or whatever you're doing. So, you know, for the professional, it's saving them a lot of money. But also, if your time's limited on that weekend project, you can move forward with it as well. I know that's been phenomenally successful for Quikrete.
Oh, 1,000%. And, you know, in addition to that, you can still mix it up in the wheelbarrow and use it for general slab work. Like if you're going to put in a utility pad or that sort of thing outside your home, it's an easy solution.
Or a lot of times you might need just that one step, or, you know, that where your grass is kind of worn a little bit from regular use, to put that one thing in there. Well, I tell you what, I would strongly recommend everybody that's considering any type of concrete work to go to quikrete.com. They have invested a lot of time and money to create this resource and this portal for you to go and see the hundreds and hundreds of videos that will show you how to solve some of those problems you're probably facing. So, Allison, always great to have you on to talk about Quikrete, and hope you have you back on pretty soon.
I say it's been great to be here. Thanks so much for the time, Danny.
Yeah, those calculators that Quikrete has online are great, because when you're trying to determine the volume of concrete in, let's say, a slab or a pad, you know, it's rectangular or square, that's easy enough, right? It's depth by width by length. But when you have a post hole for, like, say, a fence or a mailbox post, you have a round hole that's sort of round and varying depth.
Right, yeah.
It makes it a little harder to calculate the amount of concrete. But again, with these online calculators that Quikrete has, makes it really easy.
Sometimes it's been a few years for people who have been in math class.
And that's right.
You start doing 2-inch thick times 4 by 10 divided by this, and then 27 cubic feet. It's like, wow, there's a lot. Lot going on here.
We need a cement truck to fill this post hole. That doesn't sound right.
Exactly right. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We're so glad you're here. Hang in there.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio, Here are Danny and Joe.
And welcome back to the show. So glad you're with us. It's time for our simple solution from our buddy Joe Truini.
All right, Danny, there are many times when it's necessary to drill a relatively large diameter hole into an existing ceramic or porcelain tile. You know, if you're trying to accommodate a protruding water supply line, a drain pipe, a shower valve, anything like that, when you're doing a remodeling job with some tile. And you could buy a carbide tip hole saw, but they're pretty expensive. So here's a simple solution you can try instead. Start by marking the outline of the hole on the tile. You can use a marker of any sort, something like that. And then use a nail set to punch a series of divots along that outline. You're just chipping the glazing. You're not trying to, you don't hit it too hard because you'll crack the tile. You're just chipping the glazing all the way around. You want to space them maybe a quarter inch apart, something like that, all the way around the diameter of this circle. Then take a quarter inch diameter masonry drill bit and drill a hole through each of those divots, right through the tile. What you end up with is a perforated hole all the way around, and there's very little tile in between those holes. So now use a hammer and a cold chisel and just chip out the little bit of tile that's left between those holes. And then tap it with a hammer. And you're doing this from the front side, by the way, because If you do it from the back side, you might chip the glazing. So you're doing this all from the front side. Chip out the little bit of tile with the cold chisel. Then just tap on that plug and it'll pop right out. Now, that hole is going to be really rough, but it's ordinarily 9 out of 10 times or 10 out of 10 times. It's going to be hidden by an escutcheon plate.
That's right.
Some kind of trim ring. And the hole's always oversized anyway, so you can very easily slip it over the pipe or whatever the object is. So that's how to do it. And if you go to todayshomeowner.com/simplesolutions and search for this tip, you'll see a 1-minute video showing me doing this exact tip.
And just take your time. Don't get in a hurry on all of that. You want to make sure that you have the right drill bit, and that'll be a big success for you. It can be a little intimidating doing that kind of work, but Joe just told you a simple solution in how to solve that. Hey, I want to tell you about a brand new podcast episode every single week we're about to launch this weekend called Ask Danny. Now, what we basically are doing here, just think about me on the tailgate with an expert, a concrete expert, a lighting expert, drywall expert, on and on and on. That's what Ask Danny podcast is all about. So all you have to do is go wherever you get your podcasts and search Today's Homeowner Podcast and subscribe, because we have a number of different podcasts that we have in there, including each hour of the radio show. We also have some of our short tips that we share with people throughout the country. We also post them there on our podcast under the Today's Homeowner Podcast. You can also go to todayshomeowner.com/podcast and find out all about it and read all about it. We're very excited about introducing this and want you to be a part of it. We'd love for you to subscribe, and we really dig into some things. If you're, you know, really want some tips, some pro tips on painting, we'll have them. Yard work, we'll have them, and just about any other thing in and around your home. And we'd also love to hear any feedback from you. Again, todayshomeowner.com/podcast. Hey, this weekend on the Today's Homeowner television show, brand new episodes this entire month. Check out this Diva Den. What we've done here is we had a floor plan of this home where lady had a dining room, but she really didn't use the dining room. She lived by herself. She wanted something a little different. So Chelsea came up with these great ideas and put an accent wall in. We use LED lights. We put curtains on the ceiling. Yeah, that's what I said.
What?
And yeah, sheer curtains on the ceiling. And I said, I don't know about this. Man, it turned out great. And then took an old piece of furniture, repurposed it, did a little modification on it, painted it. Now it's this beautiful focal point in this room. So you'll have to check it out by going to todayshomeowner.com and find out where you can see it in your area. Well, that's going to wrap up the show for this week. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, also our engineer producer Corey Wilson, and the whole Today's Homeowner family, wishing you a happy Independence Day. I hope you have a great weekend, and we hope you'll come back and listen to us again next week here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll see you then.